Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as we all found out yesterday, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie had weight loss surgery in February, and the type of surgery he had is known as lap band surgery, where a silicone band is placed around the stomach to discourage overeating. And it's one of several kinds of bariatric surgery. So we thought we'd take some calls from anyone who's undergone any of the types of weight loss surgeries. Lap band surgery, gastric bypass surgery is a different one, and there's what they call a gastrectomy. And we know that none of these are easy roads. So call us up and tell us about your experience. 212-433-WNYC. How and why did you decide to undergo any type of bariatric surgery? Were you happy with the outcome? And are you in the middle of the process now? Is it harder or easier than you thought it would be? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and post your story or your question, because we also have a guest, Dr. Hans Schmidt. He's the chief of bariatric surgery at Hackensack University Medical Center. Dr. Schmidt, thank you for giving us a few minutes today. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
And as calls are coming in, you were quoted in the New York Times saying about a third of people do really well, a third so-so, and a third not so well. So what constitutes each of those categories?
I would say doing well is, losing the expected amount or getting to your target weight that we would set for you. I would say not well is easy to define as not losing much weight at all. And then so-so is somewhere in the middle, losing some weight, but maybe not as much as you had hoped to.
Do you define not doing well only as not meeting your weight goals, or can there be serious side effects from these surgeries?
Oh, there can definitely be serious side effects from all of the surgeries that you just mentioned. The band is the immediately safest, meaning there's very few surgical complications to the band. However, long-term, we can see problems down the road.
Such as?
The band can slip where it sort of slides further down the stomach. If the band is too tight for too long, some people end up with gastroesophageal reflux disease or esophagitis or, dilation of the esophagus. So there can be long-term problems with having this tight band around your upper stomach.
Let's take a success story and a disaster story coming right in on the phones. Rob in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us your story.
I was planning to have the lap band, and my doctor said that it really wasn't going to change my attitude toward the eating. So I eventually went for the sleeve, which scared me initially, but I've lost about 70 pounds, no longer diabetic, and feeling great at the age of 60.
Glad to hear it. Rob, thank you. And can people really do that? Can somebody who is diabetic become no longer diabetic, Dr. Schmidt?
Oh, absolutely. One of the main causes of diabetes in America today is obesity. And certainly, 80% of patients that lose significant weight can get, we don't like to say cured, we like to say maybe, their diabetes goes into remission over time. So whichever way you can lose the weight, if it's surgery or on your own, it affects the diabetes. But the hard part is most people can't lose that kind of weight on their own, which is why surgery is particularly effective.
Barbara in Manhattan says she had the same surgery and the same doctor as Governor Christie. Yes, Barbara?
Yes, I'm in favor of the surgery that I had. I lost 60 to 70 pounds. I had it done about 7 years ago. I'm still about 30 pounds overweight. However, my health is significantly improved, and I've been able to have hip surgery and those kinds of things, which would have been more dangerous had I been 250 pounds.
Barbara, thank you. So how do you decide, Dr. Schmidt, which of these three are right for somebody who's committed to, a surgery route?
Well, that's really one of the hardest parts of our job. We, of course, have a long talk with the patient, learn about their eating habits, their expectations, and, their previous ability to lose weight. As I mentioned, the band is clearly the easiest surgery. It can often be done same-day surgery. It's in and out. It's not very painful. You can get right back to your activities. But the band really requires the most effort on behalf of the patient to lose the weight of the three operations. The sleeve, gastrectomy, and the bypass seem to have a more rapid and reliable weight loss, whereas the band really depends on commitment from the patient. They really have to, you know, change their lifestyle and change what they eat and change how they eat. And
you have to do that without a band if you're going to lose weight. So how does the band make it easier?
It does make it easier because it will decrease your appetite and it will decrease the amount of food that you can eat in one setting. So we like to look at it as a tool to help you achieve your goals. The problem is some people need a bigger tool, if you will. And, you know, there are ways to cheat with the band, more ways to cheat with the band than with some of the other procedures. So if you're not committed and you're not dedicated, it may not work as well.
And with all of these kinds of surgeries, you just get full faster, you feel full faster, and so eating large quantities of food just doesn't seem as appetizing?
Well, less appetizing or physically impossible. You know, you may throw up if you eat too much food, you know, and then that hopefully will stop you from eating food. The goal is not to make you throw up. I mean, that's really bulimia, you know, and we're not trying to make people throw up after they eat. We're trying to send a signal to your brain that my stomach's full and I've eaten enough and you should stop eating. Problem is some people barrel right through that stop sign, and before they know it, they're overfull and throwing up.
We're talking about lap band surgery in the news because Governor Christie revealed yesterday that he got it, and the two other major types of bariatric surgeries indicated for people who are extremely overweight. Taking your experiences and your questions, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Dr. Hans Schmidt, Chief of Bariatric Surgery at Hackensack University Medical Center. And I said we were going to get a horror story. This is, I guess, the ultimate horror story. Anne from New Jersey on our comments page writing, on the topic of problems, a friend of mine died during bariatric surgery. This was at least 15 years ago. Maybe patient safety has improved for bariatric surgery since then, she writes. Still, obese patients off the bat aren't wonderful surgery candidates. So is that a, you know, completely anomalous story for somebody to die on this table?
Well, hopefully the patient didn't die on the table. That's very, very rare. But there are surgical complications that patients can die from, such as leaks or intra-abdominal infections, pulmonary embolism caused by blood clots. I mean, you know, it is a serious operation. Fortunately, in the last 15 years, things have improved tremendously. 15 years ago, it was pretty much an open operation done through a very large abdominal incision. And, you know, we've come a long way since then. Pretty much now in the tri-state area, I would say all the surgeries are being done laparoscopically through little incisions. You know, centers of excellence have come about now where the American College of Surgeons actually certifies the hospitals of the surgeons as centers of excellence. And, you know, I think a lot of the techniques and, you know, results are much more moderated and standardized, you know. So I think it is very, very safe right now. I agree that obese patients are high risk. They have a lot of medical problems. But at the same time, they're living with those medical problems, and they have to deal with the risk of diabetes, heart disease, sleep apnea, and everything else on a daily basis. So, you know, hopefully at a center of excellence with a safe operation, they can, you know, end up getting healthier every day after the surgery as opposed to sicker.
Robin Westchester writes on our comments page, please ask Dr. Schmidt about the incidence of substance abuse, mainly alcoholism, post-surgery. I have a lot of anecdotal evidence of post-bariatric surgery patients who suddenly become very heavy drinkers where they didn't drink at all before. Is that something you know of?
Yeah, it's something we've heard about. They just did a review in the literature, and there's no, let's say, proven data that shows that there's an increased incidence of alcoholism. But we do see it in select patients, for sure. You know, I do think that there's a lot of different reasons that people overeat, and I think one of them is people are, you know, some people are food addicts, or some people medicate themselves with food. If they have a good day, they eat too much. If they have a bad day, they eat too much. And it's, you know, it's a feel-good kind of thing. We know that some of the receptors in the brain that give you pleasure from food are associated associated with, you know, some other things like alcohol. And I think when people can't eat, mm-hmm. can't medicate themselves anymore with food, they may turn to another substance, which is why, you know, follow-up and counseling and, you know, there's a lot more that goes into this than just surgery. Surgery is about 2 hours of the whole process. The rest of your life, you know, you need a lot of help with that. So, yeah.
But they probably don't drink a lot of beer or champagne since, yeah, the carbonation is not very comfortable after a lot of these surgeries, right?
That's right. The bubbles are hard.
Rebecca in Cragsmore. You're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, hello. Great to talk to you. I had gastric bypass surgery 5 years ago, and honestly, it was by far the best thing I've ever done. It's a lot of work, like you said, but if you do what you're supposed to, if you exercise, if you eat right, if you, you know, do all of those things, including, I think this is essential, aftercare in terms of follow-up with your doctor, going to support groups, which my doctor's office offers twice a week at one location and then in other locations in the area. I just think it's really the best thing I ever did. I've lost 300 pounds. I've maintained that weight loss for 5 years. It's a lot of work. But I applaud Chris Christie for doing this because, you know, if done right, it is something that very few people who do it regret.
Rebecca, thank you for sharing that. Karen in White Plains, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Yes, good morning, Brian.
Go ahead.
So, Brian, along with other attorneys, I actually represent the estate of a young woman who died about 6 weeks after having lap band surgery.
Uh-huh.
I should mention that coincidentally, she was operated on by the same doctor who operated on Governor Christie.
Huh.
And what I would like to say about all of this is that I have no doubt that lap band has helped many individuals. However, it seems to me that if we look across country, our own experience included, but if we look to California as well, the risks of the surgery are significantly downplayed. It is often treated sort of, I almost feel like teeth whitening. Come in today, have your surgery, and you will lose the weight. And when in fact, many of the patients who have lap band surgery not only have a lot of pre-existing conditions, but oftentimes the lap band can exacerbate those conditions as it did in the case of my client.
And of course, I need to say that we can't verify your story or just somebody who's called in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if, you know, really the doctor who worked on Governor Christie is being sued or did anything wrong.
Yes, indeed. The lawsuit is currently pending in New York State against
But what I do want to make sure that we get out is that you're raising a larger issue here. So what do you think needs to change? Do you think potential patients need better information? Do you think doctors in general are recruiting patients for this too aggressively because that's their career? What's the big issue here?
I think I would like to say the latter. The doctors are absolutely recruiting patients too aggressively, and they are not taking seriously enough the preoperative part of the process. Many of the patients come into the hospital, they go into an info session, they have preoperative tests done, they meet the surgeon 2 days before surgery, and then the entire process takes mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks.
Karen, I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time, and I want to have enough time for a good answer to this from Dr. Schmidt. What do you think? Is it tempting because there are so many very overweight people out there who can't solve their problems in other ways, and so, hey, let's set up these clinics or these programs?
Well, I think just like any other disease that we treat, I mean, you know, at Hackensack UMC, we have a cancer center, we have a heart and vascular center, we have a bariatric center. I mean, there are patients with the diseases that we treat. I mean, I think that, well, first of all, every program is different, so it's very hard to generalize, you know, what the attorney was saying across the board, I think, for everybody. But what I can say is that, you know, to treat every patient like an individual, I think patients need to know the risks and the benefits of surgery, and I think they need to know that it doesn't work like magic for everybody, which was my quote that you mentioned earlier on from the New York Times, that mm-hmm. a third of the people do great and a third of the people don't. And we tell that to our patients up front, and that's specifically with the band, with the bypass in the sleeve. The patients tend to do better with their weight loss, but there's more risk to it. So the patients need to understand the risks of the surgery. They need to understand the expected outcomes of the surgery. And ultimately, it's the patient's decision, you know, to sign the consent form. I mean, if patients aren't ready, I've had patients that take a year or two, and they say, I'm not ready for this right now. I'd like to have more support of my family or think about it more. And they come back a year later. I mean, we certainly don't, you know, rush anybody into surgery. I mean, clearly it's well thought out, hopefully, and they're well worked up ahead of time. And you know, then we go ahead with it. But again, that's, you know, every program is completely different.
So, and we have to leave it there. Hospital. My guest, Dr. Hans Schmidt, was quoted in the Times saying about a third of the patients who had the surgery Governor Christie had do really well, a third so-so, a third not well at all. And Dr. Hans Schmidt is chief of bariatric surgery at Hackensack University Medical Center. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.